So one of the things I'm going to invite you all to do in these six areas of your life is to look at which are the areas that you've neglected now for too long that you can prioritize in such a way where you can start to take some bold action in the direction of your commitment to impact that area. So just as Hillary said, she was noticing that her commitment was to handle her weight. I know that, Hillary, you've done a great job over the years in managing that commitment. Rather than sleep a little later in the morning, Hillary gets up and goes to the gym and works out and handles that. And as a result, it spills over into other areas, which is the other point I'd like to make. We have it that our business is over here on the right and our family is on the left. And over here in this corner is our relationships. And over here are our recreation and fun. And here's our personal and spiritual development. And here's our wealth accumulation and our finances. And they're all different areas. But what we don't realize is that if one area is deficient, and if we're not having an area work optimally, then it spills over into the other areas. Like Hillary said, if you're a little overweight, you lose energy, your attitude suffers, you're not proactive in business, you find that suffering. So you come home and you're in a bad mood, you get into maybe some arguments with some family members, and one thing leads to another. And so if you're not climbing the hill of self-improvement, you're kind of sliding down the slope of decay. So I'm going to invite you to look at which areas are not optimal in your life and have the courage to really take some action in the direction of those areas. And again, the next time that we speak, we're going to be talking exactly about how to do that. Let's talk a little bit now about strengths and weaknesses. First of all, I'd like you to take on the following principle, and that is to give up your right to invalidate yourself. Simply recognize when you're judging yourself harshly and return to your commitment to give yourself a break and to love yourself. This will mean creating an interpretation that keeps you whole and reflects properly your self-worth. We have a tendency to be so hard upon ourselves where we judge ourselves harshly, constantly putting ourselves down. We're constantly minimizing our strengths and our contributions. One of the reasons that we do that is that we're not totally in touch with our gifts. When we're not in touch with our gifts, we not only aren't happy and most productive and most fulfilled, but we're also not sharing those gifts with the world, which is really our life purpose. And it gives us fulfillment, gives us not only the ability to attract abundance to us, but to give that abundance back to others. So in order to uncover what your gifts are, you can ask others for feedback about what they see in you. Ask yourself, what are you known for? What are those qualities that people remark about you? Is it that you're funny or you're witty, or that you just make people smile, or that you're creative and you're always coming up with answers? Well, maybe you're the class clown that always has a joke to lighten people up. You have the gift of friendship. You make friends easily. You make people feel good about who they are. So what are you known for? What are you passionate about? When you're most alive and having fun, what are you doing? So get in touch with what your gifts are. Get in touch with what is most important to you. That if you had to live the next 300 years, what would you spend it doing? One of the things that you can do is to look at who do you admire in the world? Who do you respect to the extent that you'd like to be more like that person? Once you uncover what all of your strengths are and what your gifts are, I'd really encourage you to write them on index cards, keep them with you, to keep them around the house, and to keep reminding yourself of what those gifts are. This is going to be one that is going to be a little bit tough for some of you to do. And if you find it tough, I'm going to ask you to do it anyway, because we are not good at acknowledging ourselves. Would anyone like to share what you see as a gift of yours?
I'm a clown.
Okay, good. How do you manifest that?
Oh, I could tell a good joke. Try to make light of a situation. I connect with kids.
Great. Those are awesome gifts. Now, are you fully living those gifts?
No.
So how could you?
Well, like I said, if I just started, like I have applications for Children's Hospital to go, you know, to submit and spend some time doing it, and it's like today is really not someday for me. It's like, I'll do it someday. Okay, let's put it that way. Someday I'll do that, but it seems like if I wanted to, I could do it right now.
So what is stopping you from creating a plan to do something like that in the next 30 days?
I want to focus on my network marketing business because I have quite a bit of debt. I have some Some expenses coming up that I'm, you know, a little leery of. You know, it's a little bothersome. I don't worry about it per se because I'm pretty confident that I'm going to be able to build this business. But not being there and not knowing, you know, the suspense there, you know, that's one aspect. I tell myself, I guess I'm too busy to follow through with that, even though I'd love to do that.
So can I offer you a suggestion?
Please.
The either-or trap that I was talking about a minute ago?
Yeah.
Where, you know, you can either do your business or you could go and manifest your gift. That's the lie. And the truth of the matter is you can do both. And here's what I'm going to suggest to you. If that's something that is a gift of yours, Chuck, and that you're actually passionate about inspiring kids and lightening people up, I'm going to invite you to make that a priority. And I'm going to also invite you to look at building relationships as you do that. That would allow you to introduce people to your network marketing business at the same time. So that's a great example where you're actually neglecting one of your strengths, thinking that it will detract from your business, when I predict that if you were to apply yourself there, it would actually enhance your business. That's something you might be willing to take on?
Yeah, I don't know why I'm procrastinating.
What do you need to do? Do you need to make calls to the hospital?
I need to fill out an application and
mm-hmm.
submit it and make a commitment to like 60 hours or go to the training and find out what's expected of me, what, you know, the do's and don'ts. And
so I'm going to ask if you can explore it. See if there's a way where you can do it where you can be responsible for managing your time and incorporating that into your life and building your business at the same time. It's a possibility outside of the box that you've been living in.
That's true. I think I'd be very fulfilled to be doing something. You know, like, I realize, like, you know, I go through all these exercises, and it seems like most of the things that I want out of life to make me happy don't cost, you know, much money, you know. And it's a paradox because you do this to make money, but yet the things that make me happy don't cost money. And so it's,
mm-hmm.
it seems like not prioritizing the choices that I have, you know, to bring fulfillment to my life.
Right. So, Chuck, would you email me your plan with respect to moving forward in manifesting that gift of yours?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let me get off.
Because my commitment is to support you in manifesting that gift.
Well, it's almost like I'm on the nail, you know. I guess I'm in my comfort zone, and I'm not, you know, it hurts to not step out, but yet not enough to get up off of it and do something.
Mm-hmm. I predict that is where your success lies as well. When you're having fun, when you're offering your gifts, you're attracting people, you're meeting people, you know, and that will support your business success as well. Great. Well, thank you. Let's look now to the concept of weaknesses. And I'm going to offer you all a new interpretation here. And that is simply that weaknesses are simply qualities that can be changed and areas of potential that you've yet to develop. So rather than focus on your weaknesses, we're going to be looking at what is missing that, if put into place, would make whatever that missing area is a strength for you. So what's missing in each area that, if put into place, would enhance your happiness, your lifestyle, your relationships, and your self-esteem? Now, in the self-esteem book, you will find a page entitled Qualities to Support Your Excellence. And I'm going to ask for everyone to go through those qualities and to actually identify the qualities that are most relevant to supporting your self-esteem, your happiness, and your fulfillment in life. Also, those qualities that would support your relationships and your personal effectiveness. And I'm just going to read a bunch of these for the sake of you just jotting down a note or two if any of these qualities have your name on them. So the first is being calm and centered, as opposed to being flustered or reactive. Being organized and focused, as opposed to being scattered and unfocused. Being at peace rather than being in turmoil. Having genuine humility rather than landing arrogantly. Choosing interpretations that support and empower you rather than interpretations that make you angry and upset. Having greater physical energy rather than doing whatever you're doing now that has you lacking energy. Working on your health and appearance as opposed to neglecting yourself. having integrity, meaning walking your talk, as opposed to lacking integrity, which is when your actions aren't in alignment with what you say you're going to do. Exuding charisma by getting into other people's worlds, by finding out what's important to them, by making friends and showing a genuine interest in others, by being funny and by sharing your gifts with the world. Showing confidence versus insecurity. Being an inspiration to yourself and others because you have the courage to pursue your vision and to honor your values. Allowing yourself to be vulnerable when appropriate, as opposed to putting up a wall thinking that you have to be tough in order to be liked. Showing emotion where it's appropriate, letting people see your heart, in other words, instead of being so intellectual that they can't get in, and not showing emotion when it doesn't serve you. In other words, when you need to be strong, you're able to do so. Being sensitive to other people's needs and feelings and sensitive to their greatness. Being consistent or persistent with respect to moving your business forward. Being coachable and teachable as opposed to knowing it all. Being happy as opposed to having a tendency to be a sad sack or feeling sorry for yourself. Being committed to having a good self-image, and that means managing those interpretations that have you beat yourself up on a moment-by-moment basis, like we spoke about in the first session. Listening to and getting to trust your intuition. Intuition is the true small voice that speaks to us that is always the wise second voice. It's the voice that really is in the better interest of our higher self, as opposed to the chip-on-our-shoulder voice, the negative self-talker, whose interests are to protect us from being hurt, but it's not intuition. Now, intuition is that voice that has no fear associated with it. It's the true inner guidance, the compass that tells us what we should be doing. So for some of us, what we need to do is to calm ourselves enough so that we can now start to hear and trust our intuition, as opposed to not being in tune with our intuition. Developing empathy for what it's like in another's world. This will support our charisma. It'll support our ability to make friends and relationships and our ability to contribute to people if we're building a business. Being self-motivated as opposed to lacking that motivation to really move ourselves forward on purpose because we're more committed to our goals than to being convenient or to doing what we feel like doing. Being able to make promises and keep commitments. So how many of us are commitment phobic? Being able to be told anything without reacting. In other words, we don't buy into someone else's anger or fear or sadness. Being a good listener, listening for not only what is said, but what is unsaid. Being able to make the most of any situation, to kind of see the glasses half full instead of half empty. Being able to have fun, no matter what the circumstances. Coming across authentically to others, speaking from the heart, as opposed to trying to tell them what you think they want to hear. Having discipline in order to honor your commitments, as opposed to, again, doing whatever you feel like doing. Willing to sacrifice for the future. Living your vision. Supporting others to be successful and to get what they want out of life. Exuding enthusiasm, as opposed to not managing your state and not being aware of how you're landing with people. Being inspirational in inspiring people to be great, inspiring people to honor the things that are most important to them. One of the things that we can do best to increase our own self-esteem is to support others to increase their self-esteem, to acknowledge others when we see something that they've done or something that they've contributed to us. Having compassion for those that are less fortunate than us. And of course, there's a whole bunch of areas around listening. Listening for what it's like in the other person's situation. Listening for how we can contribute to support others. Listening for mutuality and common ground. You know, what do we have in common with others? Listening for what others have to contribute to us, regardless of style, regardless of how powerful they are in our opinion about communicating that contribution. Listening for opportunities to strengthen our relationship with everyone that we speak with. Opportunities to be able to bond with others, being happy to serve, being willing to contribute, being interested in others and interested in finding solutions that create win-win-wins for everyone. So these are just some of the qualities. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you all to come up with a list of qualities that would support you in being more powerful, more productive, more effective, and to prioritize that list. So you're going to create a list of your strengths and your gifts, and you're going to create a list of any weaknesses which are missing qualities that, if developed and strengthened, would really support you to move your life, your happiness, your self-esteem forward. So first of all, does anyone have any qualities that they would like to share that you'll be working on with respect to any of those qualities that might be missing that would support your life and your effectiveness?
My integrity.
Integrity, great. What does that look like?
What does it look like currently, or what is it going to look like?
What will you put into place that's missing now to support your integrity?
Just absolute honesty and faith and by abiding by the truth.
Okay, great. So you'll be speaking your truth responsibly more?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Any others?
Someone else, speak up. Come on, Hillary.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, because I was muted, sorry. I think it would be discipline and staying focused.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you're easily sidetracked?
Yeah, it's a phrase that you said earlier, Joe, that just had my name all over it. You know, do what's easiest and what you feel
mm-hmm.
more comfortable with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. So you'll be prioritizing those areas that need your focus and need your attention?
Yeah, and I think what's the great thing that's happening is sort of just having one area, like, you know, making myself disciplined to, you know, exercise and just the self-confidence that I'm feeling in that. I thought, what if I did this in my business too? You know, if I can do it with my exercise, you know, stop telling myself a lie that, you know, I can't also transfer that in another area and be successful in that too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It starts with an intention,
mm-hmm.
and the intention leads to bold action in the area of the intention, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that you start to look at what's missing that, if put into place, would support your personal power, your effectiveness, your happiness, your fulfillment, your esteem, and then what bold action do you need to take to move yourself in the direction of that quality. So in this example, Hillary, if focus is missing, then perhaps clear, focused, deliberate, on-purpose action is the quality that you will take. And by when? By setting a date by when you'll act. So that now your bold action is specific, it's focused, it's deliberate, it's purposeful, and it has an intention to drive it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to invite you all to do is to start the process of reprogramming your conscious mind. And you're going to do that by creating an affirmation for yourself. And the affirmation is going to start with the phrase, I am A. And you're going to finish that phrase with about five or more qualities. And these are the qualities that you've identified as either qualities that you'll work on or qualities that might be missing that if put into place would support you. So as an example, your declaration, this is not based on any disempowering evidence of the past. So let's just say that your self-talk was that you were weak and insecure, not very effective, not very powerful, not very charismatic, that you really weren't focused and organized. What your newly invented declaration might be is something like, I'm a secure, self-confident, loving, charismatic, attractive leader who acts decisively and moves powerfully to manifest great things into the world. Everyone's declaration will be specific to who you are, and the qualities will be qualities that will support you to be more effective, happier, higher self-esteem, more able to produce a result. Is that clear to everybody? Any questions about that? Anyone have a first cut at a declaration? I am a
honest, inspirational leader who walks with integrity.
Cool. That's great. So I'm going to invite you all to create that affirmation, that one-sentence declaration, and actually to write it on a business card. What I did back when I was starting the personal development process was I created my declaration, and I had it with me all the time. I had it in my car, I had it by my phone, I had it on my shaving mirror when I woke up. I am an inspirational, charismatic, loving, compassionate, caring contributor who leads others inspirationally by example. And those were all the opposite of the qualities that I held myself as. So I'm going to invite you again to let the past go, to declare who you are with respect to qualities that you're going to declare yourself on purpose. And I'm going to invite you to do the following, to actually take some specific daily action that will help you to develop every one of the traits that are in your declaration. Also, rate yourself on the scale from 1 to 10 about how well you embodied every one of those qualities daily. Thirdly, keep a daily journal that describes what worked that day to develop each characteristic and what was missing that, if put into place, would have better served your objective the next day. And again, who are the people that you're going to make powerful requests to support you in championing you to develop those traits that you're missing? I'm going to end just by talking a little bit about forgiveness and about giving up any grievances. You know, we talked a little bit about this in week number one, but I want to highlight it as we finish up for the evening. We talked about strengths. We talked about weaknesses. But my first question is, are you willing to give up your right to beat yourself up and to actually get off of whatever it is that you're still angry about with yourself or with others? In other words, are you willing to forgive yourself, and are you willing to forgive others? And if there are any hurtful events in your past, here are some ways that we typically react. We either react with denial, we react with self-blame, we react with being a victim, we react with indignation, how dare you? We react as a survivor, in other words, we get over it and we move on, but we haven't really completed with it. Or lastly, the best and the most effective is we complete. It no longer troubles us, and so we're able to move on living that new declaration. So what I'm going to leave you with this evening is to let the anger, the bitterness, the hatred, any of the qualities that don't support you, that have you small, that have you focus on the qualities that aren't really who you are, and to replace those qualities with this invented declaration, this I am a declaration of the person that you say that you are. No evidence is required, because from this point onward, you're going to live these qualities. And the way that that works is, let's say that you declare that you are a loving, charismatic, contributing leader. You're going to ask yourself, if I were loving, how would I act in this moment? If I were charismatic, what would I say or do? How would I find out about what's important to this person? How would I get into their world? How could I acknowledge them for something? How could I lighten up and improve their day? By asking yourself, how can I manifest this quality, you'll now take action in the direction of the quality. And you'll do that with each of your traits in order to move yourself in the direction that you decide to move. And then the next session that we're going to be speaking about, we're going to be talking a little bit more about designing our future in choice. So let me stop here and see if there's any questions about any of this, any comments, before we adjourn for the evening. Well, I'd like to thank you all for your partnership this last hour. Our next call will be 1 week from this evening. So thank you for joining us. I wish you power and magnificence, and look forward to our call next week.